The Favorites Podcast is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Football season is coming, and there is no better place to start making every moment more than with FanDuel. I love betting with FanDuel because they've got great odds and markets for NFL futures, MLB, PGA Tour, tennis, and more. Plus, their app is safe, easy to use, and when I win, I get paid out fast. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with promo code FAVORITES so they know I sent you. You must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP. In Louisiana, 1-877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Tennessee Redline is 1-800-889-9789, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Welcome to The Favorites, the podcast from the Volume Podcast Network. I am Chad Millman, Chief Content Officer of The Action Network, and we are oh so close, folks. We are going to start diving into division by division betting ideas, concepts, nuggets, everything you need to know to prep for the NFL season. Me and my BFF, my companion, my compadre, professional bettor, Simon Hunter. Simon, I know you've been waiting for this month so we could finally stop with the riffraff and get focused on the football since the Super Bowl ended.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy the time off from football, but once the draft happens, you can kind of feel the itch coming. And then once the air gets a little hot up in this Northeast, the June months, that's really when it starts. Just the itch for football.
Well, look, with training camps, almost felt like they snuck up on us. And there's been
speak
no shortage
yourself.
Of... All right, right, exactly. There's been no shortage of news coming out of training camps. And we've seen, you know, sort of, the standard, oh my God, this team is going to be amazing. This player looks great. Every day I hear about George Pickens and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
Every day I'm looking at highlights of Tua and Tariq Hill, and all of a sudden Tua getting some MVP love. Today, we're going to focus on the great North, the AFC North and the NFC North. We're going to go through every single team, both divisions. We're going to talk about odds to win. We're going to talk about win totals. We're going to talk about odds to make the playoffs from Baltimore through Detroit, from what we think might be the best to what we think might be the worst. We're joined Action Network senior analyst extraordinaire. He does it all, folks. He joins me and Simon on Convince Me on Sundays during the NFL season. He hosts the Action Network NFL podcast on Thursdays during the season with Stucky. He hosts the Fantasy Flex podcast. He is Chris Raybon.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's that time. We just got some breaking news. Miami, just their owner is banned and they lost their first round picks for the next 2 years. So it's officially football season. Let's go.
Listen, yeah, that is big news. And I think people are here. We're recording this on a Tuesday. People are hearing this on a Thursday. The Stephen Ross news is not insignificant in that it is real reaction and real consequences for something that came out of that Brian Flores lawsuit, which was potential tampering with Tom Brady. It wasn't just Stephen Ross, who was impacted. It was a co-owner of the Dolphins as well, fined $500,000, not allowed to go to league events. Stephen Ross, $1.5 million, not allowed to go to events until the owner's meeting in 2023, plus the loss of the picks. We're going to get to all that when we talk about the Eastern conferences, AFC and NFC. We got to start AFC North, boys. And to me, Baltimore is the most interesting team in this division, not Cleveland, not Pittsburgh, not Cincinnati, because I do feel like there is a positive regression that is due for the Ravens, given Lamar had a difficult year, a lot of injuries, the defensive backfield. Raybon, it felt like you and Stuckey were talking about Ravens injuries in the backfield every week last year. I like everything about this team. I like them to win the division. I like their over at 10.5. Raybon, I want to start with you. Minus 155 to make the playoffs. That's a 61% probability, plus 170 to win the North. 10.5 is the win total. Talk to me.
For the Ravens, I would go with more of a like a long shot bet. Like I would take them to win the AFC or something like that, because I think they still have a wide range of outcomes. I think the division is still tough, and I think the defense is going to be a lot better. You mentioned they just had way too many injuries, terrible injury luck last year. But I did notice that for the first time in a while, I thought that Greg Roman really couldn't figure it out. And I thought defenses really started to figure out Lamar Jackson last year. And I think the offense is still going to struggle a little bit. You know, they're starting with their running backs on the PUP. We don't know if they're going to be healthy to start the year. They obviously lost Hollywood Brown. So I still think the Ravens offense is going to be inconsistent. 11 wins is a high number, for me to go over 10.5. So I do like them as a long shot to win a conference. We've seen them, you know, do a lot with less on offense. So it's not as if they can't, but since 2019, if you look at Lamar Jackson's numbers, they've just been trending downward in pretty much every efficiency category. And I just think defenses are starting to figure things out. They're blitzing Lamar a lot more, which you're not really supposed to be able to blitz a quarterback that can run like that. So I am a little concerned about the offense, but I think the defense will be very, very good, and that will keep them in every game.
You've generally been someone who is ahead of the curve on analyzing quarterbacks. So when you're saying that Greg Roman couldn't figure it out and Lamar Jackson seems to have been struggling and hasn't played up to his MVP level, that makes me a little bit nervous when I'm thinking about 10.5 wins. Simon, you've been studying film. That's all you watch. You don't watch anything else. Tell me your thoughts. Am I right or is Raybon right?
I think Raybon's right in the sense that it feels like he's kind of telling you you've missed the value on the Ravens, which I have to agree with him on. It's like we talked, what, Chad, 3 months ago when all the Watson stuff was happening with the Browns and they were the shiny new toy, and we were getting Ravens at, I think, plus 220 at FanDuel. Now you just said they're down plus to 170. I mean, to a lot of people out there, it doesn't sound like much, but to me and Chris, that's a big deal. Like, you need that extra value long-term. That's how you build up a bankroll. So looking at a number that's up to 10.5 when it was at 10, and the fact that they're all the way down to plus 170, it's like, yeah, I like the Ravens. I think they're the best team in this division still, but are they that much better than the Browns? Are they that much better than the Bengals to be the favorite at this number? I don't think so. I think we've kind of all – you know, we always like to come into a new season and be the one that's saying something that other people aren't saying. I think everyone's talking about the Ravens now, right? Like, we all look at them as a team that was hurt last year. We're always looking for a team to go from last place to first place. They just fit that bill of a team that was in the fourth in the division to win the division the following year. So I do like the Ravens. I'm just worried at this point, as we sit here in August, the value's been bet out. Like, again, what we're going to talk about as we go through this division, me and Chad got the Bengals at 10-1. In middle of October to win that division. And like, that's what we look for. We're looking for crazy odds on these teams that, you know, they might've been two back of the Ravens and they were playing the Ravens that week. And that's why we thought at 10-1, that's too big of odds to give the Bengals. So to me, as a value-based bettor, I just wouldn't put money now into the Ravens, because you've already missed the good number. You're literally losing money by betting this number.
Ravens are 11-1 to win the AFC at FanDuel. They're 21-1. To win the Super Bowl at FanDuel. Do either of you feel like those odds are reflective of how good they are? Raybon?
Yeah, I think those odds, like, that's what I agree with Simon. I don't really want to invest in the Ravens now, but if I did, it would be in that sense, because I just, the median at 10.5, that's a lot. The division is wide open. So I just think you have to take a long shot and hope that they have another season, you know, like 2019, when they, you know, we kind of looked at their wide receiving core and we said, I don't know if it's going to work, but they had the defense, you know, certain things are similar, but again, I don't know if that they're ever going to replicate offensively that season with Lamar, just because I think, you know, defenses have started to figure out that scheme and you know, the numbers kind of back that up.
Well, what do you think happened? Like, is he not adjusting? Can't players adjust both ways? If defense can figure out, why can't Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson figure it out?
It's a good question. I mean, so what I saw is that I think there's certain throws that Lamar is just doesn't see quite as well or process quite as well as maybe some other quarterbacks. And because their receiving core outside of Mark Andrews it tends to be on, you know, one of the weaker ones in the NFL, defenses are kind of essentially forcing him to throw to certain spots on the field where he's not as comfortable throwing. Like they want him to throw, like, you know, outside the numbers. They want him to throw deeper downfield. You know, we saw the Titans kind of execute that same kind of game plan the year the Ravens did have that great year. And ever since then, you know, it's been kind of downhill. But last year it was, you know, defenses were just covering these receivers one-on-one, you know, and blitzing, which is something you're really not supposed to be able to do against a running quarterback. You're not supposed to be able to, like, play man coverage and blitz them. Like, they're supposed to make you pay. But, you know, unless Rashad Bateman takes a major step forward, I just have this, you know, the same concerns of things going wrong on offense that happened last year. But again, the defense will be a lot better. But yeah, I think that's what happened. I just think defenses are figuring out how to make Lamar uncomfortable, and they're realizing that they don't have to be scared of anyone on the outside for Baltimore.
Also, so, they were the one seed before Lamar went down last year. So again, like, as much as we want to downplay, it's like, it still works. Like, whatever he's that great, it could still work. It's just like Chris is talking about, the more years in, the more they figure out your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. If he can't make these passes, which he needs to make, yeah, it's just a bad pick. Like, how is he going to win the playoffs if he can't make those big throws on third down?
The Bengals, the next in line to win the division, their season win total is at 9.5. It's -130 to the over. Their Super Bowl odds their AFC odds are 12-1. Their Super Bowl odds are 20-1. So bunched in there with the Ravens. Do they run it back, Simon?
I would stay away. I like to fade teams that lose in the Super Bowl, especially teams that have a young core, just because, you know, it's going to get to their head, right? Like, they think they've been there before. They think they know how to get there again. And we've just seen it time and time again. It's just really hard, man. Like, Dan Marino made it as a rookie or as a second-year quarterback. Then Dan Marino never made it back, despite being a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's just really hard to get back there. So, looking at Bengals team, I got Joe Burrow coming off. You know, they can hide it as much as they want. We know he partially tore his ACL or MCL. Something happened there during that Super Bowl. After that touchdown to start the third quarter, something happened. Aaron Donald hit him, and there was something that happened in that moment where he just wasn't the same. Now we see him riding around in a golf cart. He's not practicing yet, right? It's August. I don't want to make a big deal of it because it's Joe Burrow. Like, this guy, to me, he's in that same pantheon as these other AFC quarterbacks, the Mahomes, the Josh Allens, the Herberts, of these really incredible, young, talented quarterbacks. So I love the Bengals. Like, I want to be in on the Bengals because I just love the core. I love what they built. They address the offensive line issues. I just have to look at a team that historically the math works out. This team will always take a step back. It's just when you win a division for the first time, when you go to a Super Bowl for the first time in, you know, the team history, and I don't even know, is it their history? I don't think they've ever been, like, I think, well, what, Boomer back in the day? I
mean, yeah, they made it way back. They lost to the Niners. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just a lot to me for this Cincy team with the expectations of, you just read the number, right, Chad? 9.5. The public has been pounding that number. They didn't move it to 10. They just moved to -130. So it's stinky. It feels like a 9-8 kind of year for this Bengals team, which to me, that's not horrible, right? That's like a 760 getting in the back door of the playoffs. It's just not going to be as easy as it was for them last year. So to me, I'm going to be a downer on this Bengals team. I'm going to be betting against them in a couple categories, especially their over-under.
Do you know what worries me about the Bengals? And this story just came out this past week. Zach Taylor and Joe Mixon have patched up any differences they had over how Mixon was used in the last drive in the Super Bowl. And if you guys recall, I mean, look, Raybon, you were all over some of the under props for Bengals running backs, and you were spot on in the Super Bowl, right? And Joe Mixon, all of a sudden in that last drive, kind of disappeared, and they couldn't convert on third and one and fourth and one. And Joe Mixon was kind of pissed about it. And it reminds me of the Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Pete Carroll dynamic. That team never recovered from that. And there wasn't a lot of love for Zach Taylor before this season. Joe Burrow kind of made him look like a genius. Is this a team that actually doesn't have the ability to repeat because the coach maybe isn't as good because things went perfectly for them last season? Raybon, react and comment.
I'm not putting too much stock into what happened with Mixon. I mean, he was just a terrible passing down back for most of the year. They tried to use him on passing downs and they just stopped because he wasn't good. And so, you know, that's why P. Ryan was in there. I wish he wasn't. I still would have rather had Mixon there in that situation. But I think it all depends on Burrow. I mean, Simon hit on it. It's like you see the warning signs already because Burrow's not practicing. Maybe he did get injured in Super Bowl, but then he got the appendectomy. So really, he's just been kind of on the shelf either way. So I'm kind of hoping that we hear like more of this negative news for the Bengals, because I think the Bengals are the best team in this division. I think the Bengals, you know, have the best quarterback. I think the Bengals, you know, their offense, they did fix their offensive line. Jamar Chase is entering year two. T. Higgins is great. You know, and on defense, they have enough pieces as well. So I really think this is a, like on paper, the roster is pretty solid overall. They have that experience of getting to the postseason, but it all runs through Joe Burrow. So I do think they can recover from whatever, you know, internal turmoil they're having because Joe Burrow is such a great leader. But if, you know, where is he health wise? You know, how much practice time is he going to lose? Because you don't want, you know, everyone's going to be gunning for the Bengals this year. And to Simon's point that, you know, a upstart team like that getting to the Super Bowl, now everyone's circling the Bengals on their schedule. And so it isn't going to be easier. They can overcome it, but I just need to see more from Burrow. So I'm just kind of waiting and hoping that people start to sour on them, because I do actually think they're a better team. And I would have their win total a little bit ahead of the Ravens, all things equal. But, you know, obviously we don't know, you know, what's going on with Burrow exactly.
All right. So we're going to get to the Browns. Obviously, we got to talk about the Browns and Deshaun Watson. But the Steelers are really interesting. They are plus 330 to make the playoffs, plus 950 to win the AFC North. Their win total is 7.5. 70-1 win the Super Bowl. That is their longest odds since the 1976 merger. And they are at their lowest win total since 2004 when they went 15-1 behind a rookie quarterback. Since under Mike Tomlin and Bill Cowher, since 1992, when their win total is listed under 8, 1992, they were at 6.5. They went 11-5. 2000, they were at 6.5, went 9-7. 2001, they were at 7.5, went 13-3. 2004, 7.5, went 15-1. Guys, who's going to bet against a rah-rah Mike Tomlin spot?
I realize if you're going to have special outcomes, that you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. I've just trained myself over the years to resist comfort. And so, appreciate my resume is seeking comfort.
Yeah, can't do it. I definitely think this is one of the pro bets. Like, only pros are betting this number and betting the over for this Pittsburgh team. And it's crazy looking at those numbers, just in the fact that it's been 18 years since they've been at 7.5 win totals for a season. 18 years. Like, that Tomlin, Big Ben run. I mean, that really is historical. And I know I had a couple guys reach out to me about this coming to the season, because I bet on Pittsburgh, if you remember, in February. Just I thought they were one of the teams that are going to be in the running for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. look, did not luck out, right? They got Mitch Trubisky instead. So I don't believe in Kenny. Again, coming out of college, coming out of Pittsburgh, he's a fifth-year senior. He apparently is just getting destroyed in camp. That's expected. Pittsburgh, if most people that build on models, Pittsburgh's going to be a top five on almost everyone that looks at data for defenses. It's just one of the best defenses of football. So if Mitch Trubisky can be what he keeps talking about being, that he went to Buffalo and he really found himself and he has the head for it, yeah, you have a great bet in Pittsburgh. Like, this team is incredibly talented on offense. Again, they have weapons across the board, and they have one of the best defenses. They just don't have a quarterback. And Big Ben Corpse got over 3,000 yards passing and got into the playoffs. So it's hard for me to tell people that listen to our show to bet Pittsburgh, but pros are doing it. Like, I've bet Pittsburgh. It's a value-based job. You're betting on the value. And to me, again, we're going to talk about the Browns. I have the Browns as the last place team in this division. So if I think Pittsburgh has a chance to get a wild card spot at 70-1, I got to bet that number. Doesesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good bet on Mitch Trubisky or Rudolph, but it's one of these things where I have to kind of bet the numbers and look at a great defense that's just missing a quarterback.
I love how you just gave Big Ben credit for going over 3,000 yards like it's fucking 1970.
I was shocked. You're not shocked by that? I was shocked he threw for 3,000 yards. I remember that guy going for like 1 for 10 for 15 yards to his running back.
Yeah, I mean, he was bad. He was at 6.2 yards per attempt last year. It was just they threw at the fourth highest rate in the league. It's actually pretty nuts.
Yeah, they have the weapons.
It's Mitchell Trubisky, Simon, and don't disrespect don't disrespect his name. This is when he proves he was worthy of that top three overall pick, and when he proves that Matt Nagy was the problem in Chicago, not Mitch Trubisky. Raybon, is there anything about the Steelers that Simon just said that you agree with?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything. I mean, I think the Steelers are the best bet in this division. Fun fact about Mitchell Trubisky. He hasn't had a losing record as a starter since his rookie year.
Empty set for Trubisky. With time, downfield, wants Robinson. Intercepted by Shaquille. And intercepted again by Shaquille Griffin. And it's intercepted. Trubisky over the middle. Intercepted. Mitchell Trubisky gets caught trying to force something in there.
He's won games every year somehow. So this defense, he had some defenses in Chicago, very talented defense. And as Simon mentioned, you know, skill positions talented as well with Deontay, Chase Claypool, Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, who I love. The offensive line could still be a little rough around the edges, but it's getting better. I think the interior line is going to be better. Of course, they got Najee. And Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record.
I love the false enthusiasm. I'm going to see if we can make one of you guys quit today.
There's a lot to like about betting on Pittsburgh. I think if I'm taking any of the win totals in this division as of right now, it is the Pittsburgh Steelers for all those reasons I just mentioned. And like, Mitch Trubisky is just kind of a wild card in the sense that like, he's been on these kind of teams before where the defense is the strength. Maybe he's got, you know, some decent guys at the skill positions and he's been able to win. So it hasn't been pretty, but he's been able to get it done. So, and that's all you would need to hit the win total. So I actually like Pittsburgh.
I love that you've made a bold statement. You guys have both basically said Steelers, Steelers, or Steelers, Steelers, Steelers. Over 7.5, take them at 70-1, run with it at plus 950. Why the hell not? Because it's Mitchell Trubisky's year.
We've just seen this division. Right. Like, yeah, this division, it gets ugly in December. We've seen it plenty of times where these teams, all of a sudden you look up and the Ravens, Cincinnati, the Browns, Pittsburgh are all playing for first place. That's what happened last year. And the Bengals they grinded it out at the end of the year. So that's why, like we just talked about with Chris, that's good value. 9-1, yeah, taking a Pittsburgh team. So.
And that playoffs, plus 330 to make the playoffs. I mean, I would put a little on that as well, even like, you know, to kind of get some upside with the win total, because like you said, these teams could just knock each other off. And, you know, I could easily see the Steelers sneaking in, just winning every game like 16-13.
I mean, this is making me want to bet the Steelers at over 7.5 right now. And by the way, it's minus 105. So not a bad price either. All right. So Cleveland Browns, 9.5 wins, plus 125, plus 230 to win the AFC North. Look, Deshaun Watson clouds everything here. Six games so far. Who knows what will ultimately happen? What do we do here? Just ignore the Browns until we get a better sense of what the final suspension is?
I mean, it depends what you're playing with. Like I just talked about, I think Pittsburgh's better than the Browns this year just because of that with Watson. Like I get the six games he's missing. People have talked about it's like the perfect six games to miss. Like they really think the NFL cares that much about him. They set the Browns up to give them a better schedule for this. They don't care. They don't think that way. The money just keeps pouring in. Like if Watson plays, if he doesn't play, they don't care. So I hated all of the Browns. Like I hate the whole, I hate the mojo going into it. I don't like the vibes of it. I don't want to bet on them because it's just, it's not good. Like you have a guy missing six games and coming in. To me, that's too much going on. Next year, yeah, I'm going to probably be in on this Cleveland team because I've seen Stefanski's offense work with Baker Mayfield, who I've been saying for years, I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. Watson is really good. Like we get shit on this guy's first personal life. The talent is really, really, really good. Like his pocket awareness, his football IQ, his arm strength, all of it. Like Watson is incredible. So to me, this is a bad year. This is a wash year. You want to fade the Browns this year. Get a good number, 9.5. I just can't see them reaching that number with a backup for six games. And then they have to play their division five more times once Watson gets back. So that's too much. That's too much for the Browns. I'll be fading them. I'm shocked pros. I know pros who are betting this number because they're just so in on Watson. I'm a year away. Like, I'll be on them next year, but this year I'll be fading the Browns.
Raybon?
I like the Browns, not as much as the Steelers in the sense of the value, but I actually think they can get by with Jacoby Brissett. The offensive line is great. The defense, you know, they got Myles Garrett. They got, you know, enough pass rush, I think. You know, the secondary, they got Denzel Ward. They got Newsome. You know, like John Johnson, like their roster is pretty strong, you know, for them to kind of weather the storm with Jacoby Brissett. I think Kevin Stefanski, you know, knows how to kind of win those kind of games. You have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in a great offensive line. And again, and you're going against a, like you mentioned, Simon, a pretty easy schedule in those games. So I actually think the Browns have some upside. Now, maybe it's one of those situations where there might be more value just betting them week to week. Like I actually might be betting on them, like just week to week with Brissett in there, 'cause I think people will undervalue them and not give them a shot. But I think the Browns are being a little bit slept on. Like I think that the landmines, in my opinion, in this division are the Ravens and the Bengals. You know, I think this division is a lot closer than people think, especially because, you know, you have the Browns who could play ugly and win. You have the Steelers who could play ugly and win. So I like the Steelers more than the Browns, but I like the Browns value-wise more than the Ravens or the Bengals.
It may be training camp, but after listening to you two, I feel like I am in mid-season waffling change my mind form, because as much as I was all in on the Ravens when we started this part of the podcast, I love the Steelers right now so much that forget about the Ravens, forget about the Bengals. Raybon, I 100% agree that those are the two teams that maybe there's more questions about reaching the potential that the odds makers have set, mm-hmm, versus the Steelers overreaching the odds makers' numbers. Give me the Steelers. Let's roll.
Super Bowl. Here we go. Cheer to Steelers. And convince me, mid-season convince me form.
I'm in mid-season convince me form right now. Football is right around the corner, and FanDuel Sportsbook is here to help you make every moment more, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code FAVORITES to place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. Personally, my favorite NFL bet right now is the Atlanta Falcons over their win total of 4.5 this season. I love betting with FanDuel because they have an app that's safe and secure. And when I win, I get paid out fast. And there's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code FAVORITES to get started with your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. You must be 21 or over and present in Arizona, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Louisiana, in permitted parishes only, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, or Wyoming. First, online, real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text Next Step to 53342 in Arizona. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, and Virginia. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789 or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. All right, let's get to the best division in football. And by best, I mean craziest, most mercurial. You can't talk about an NFC North without talking about Aaron Rodgers, without talking about his drama in the offseason, without talking about whatever his relationship is with Devontae Adams, how that might have contributed to Devontae Adams leaving, about him coming to training camp dressed like Nick Cage from Con Air.
Sorry, boss, but there's only two men I trust. One of them's me, the other's not you.
Whatever tattoos he's gotten, nobody even knows who the guy is throwing to. But look, they're still minus 170 to win the NFC North. Their win total is still 10.5. At home, the past three seasons, Aaron Rodgers is 19-9 against the spread, which makes him the most profitable quarterback in the NFL. And they've gone over their win total for three straight years. So, given all that, Simon, we hate Aaron Rodgers and we love to fade the Packers.
No, Chad hates Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers because me and Aaron have a good relationship. I bet him all during the regular season and I fade him big on an underdog during the playoffs, and I always win. So it's boring. I mean, I'll keep this quick. It's like, yes, Green Bay, mathematically, everyone's going to be on them. Like, they're the best team in this division. They have the best quarterback in this division. They're going to change styles this season where they're going to be more defensive-oriented, where they're just going to run the ball more. So it's, again, we're going to get the team I love coming up. But, yeah, if you like a boring life and you want to take chalk, I can't talk shit to you for taking Green Bay. But I just wouldn't do it. Like, it's just, it's no fun taking a number like this. But if we're sitting here in December, who do we all think is going to win this division? It's going to be Green Bay. They're just the most complete team. Back-to-back MVP Aaron Rodgers for a reason. Like, we have no reason to believe he's declining. So it's, to me, it's boring. But yeah, Green Bay is a good bet in this division, but I just wouldn't do it.
Raybon, you had a time, you had a phase before the back-to-back MVPs where you were believing that Aaron Rodgers was on a downward trajectory. What do you think changed?
Mike McCarthy.
Amen.
Seriously. I mean yeah. Really, it did. But I actually don't think Green Bay is a good bet. Like, I don't think they're a lot to win this division. I think another team has a shot, who I like, who we'll talk about in a second. But I do like Green Bay's defense a lot. And Simon, you said it, like, they're going to have to shift to a more run heavy defensive approach. And I think they can do it because their defense, I mean, even in a draft, you know, everyone was looking for them to draft a wide receiver, and, you know, they get more on a defense. They go on defense. And so I really like the defense, but I am worried about the receiving core. At some point in today's NFL, you are going to have to throw. And I think it is going to be a rude awakening for Rodgers, you know, not having Devontae Adams, not only to throw like every, you know, one third of his passes to, but also just to get guys like, you know, a Randall Cobb single coverage, and now you don't even have MVS, who, you know, Rodgers was starting to click with down the field. So I really think it's going to be tough for them. I think they're another team that's going to kind of have to win ugly, but they do have Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. They are going through some injuries. Their O-line isn't as good, I think, as it has been in years past. So Green Bay is one of those teams where I just feel like it's the floor is a little bit lower than it's been in these past few years, just because I think on offense, I think they're a lot more fragile without Adams. You know, the receivers, whether it's Cobb, whether it's Sammy Watkins, Christian Watson's already on the shelf. Like, they're not very durable. At least it's not looking like they will be right now. And Alan Lazard as the number one, that's going to be totally different when Davante Adams isn't there to take coverage away. So I think this is a team that, you know, look, they've been crushing their win totals every year. They've been, you know, they've been great. And yet the books put them at 10.5, you know, instead of like 11, 11.5. So I think that kind of tells you something. I think there's just a lower floor this year with Green Bay. I think if everyone stays healthy on offense and, you know, maybe Watson comes back or Dubs breaks out or something, they could kind of keep it together and win, you know, 12, 13 games. But I also think, you know, if the wrong person goes down, even if Rodgers misses a couple games, this team could easily be, you know, in that 8, 9, 10 win range. Like, I just think that offense has a low floor.
Well, look, you guys have both sort of foreshadowed a little bit for this division in that there are other more interesting teams. And much as I would like to say it's the Bears who will get to you last, it's Minnesota and it's Detroit. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Minnesota. They're plus 300 to win the North. They are at 9.5 wins. That's plus 105. So pretty good money there. Pretty good price, the 9.5 wins. Raybon, I'm going to start with you because I think this is the team that you were foreshadowing. Are you telling me that you like them to win the North?
I like the Vikings at this price, you know, plus 300. Listen, I like Detroit as well, so, and we'll get to that. But I don't like Detroit necessarily to win the division. I still think it's, you know, kind of the two at the top, and then and there's a big drop off between Minnesota and Detroit. But first of all, you get an offensive minded head coach, you know, in the building here. Kirk Cousins, you know, whatever drama he had with Mike Zimmer, I mean, 68 touchdowns and 20 picks since getting Justin Jefferson over the last 2 years. I think the offense will be great. Kevin O'Connell, he's been working under McVay. I think he's going to take that offense to the next level. And now you're just looking for the defense to be solid. And I think it can be solid. I mean, you still have solid players at each level of that defense for Minnesota. It's not an amazing defense. And obviously, you know, you lose Mike Zimmer, but I still think they have enough players, you know, up and down, you know, the defensive line. You got Phillips, you got Hunter, you got Tomlinson, you know, Kendricks at linebacker, you got Hicks, you know, Cam Dantzler actually turned into one of the better corners in the league. And I love Cam Bynum, the safety, and you still got Harrison Smith there. So there's a lot of pieces on that defense to where I think they could field a quality unit on defense. And then I think their offense has a very good chance of being better than the Packers just because they're more complete. Cousins is obviously not as good as Aaron Rodgers, but you have Justin Jefferson. You still have Adam Thielen. You're getting Irv Smith back. KJ Osborne turned into a pretty good number three. Dalvin Cook is in the backfield, and you've got a good backup in Madison. You know, the left side of the line, the tackles are pretty good now. So I really like this Minnesota team. I just think they're a solid all-around team, don't have a bunch of like many gaping holes or weaknesses. And I think this is a high upside team. You know, they're probably like a 9, 10 win team. 9.5 is probably the right number, but this team, I think, has a higher ceiling. You know, and I don't think the floor is high too. So I think this team is much more likely to get to like 11, 12, 13 wins. If you know, they get some luck, than they are to fall to like 7, 6, 7, 8 wins. I just think this team, I think they're going to be really good on offense. And I think the defense is very solid.
Well, look, they've always been a team that has suffered from bad luck, right? And we saw this last year, too many close games, too many opportunities where a team like that should have made it to the playoffs. They didn't because of quirks, you know, missed kicks, long shot plays, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to give Matt Mitchell an opportunity to put in a drop here. I think it's safe to say that new head coach, Kevin O'Connell, he is the new man on the Minnesota Vikings.
By the way, Chad, I like O'Connell 20-1 for coach of the year. He's behind a bunch of other coaches like Dave. So three of the last five coaches to win Coach of the Year have been first year with the team. And his odds are longer than like Brian Daboll and Doug Peterson. Like those teams aren't going to win enough games because the average is 12 wins a year over that span. Like they're not, those teams aren't going to win enough games. And then, you know, his odds are longer than Staley and McDaniels and McDaniels and Hackett. Like, I just think he's the best value for Coach of the Year. So I like the Vikings to win in division. I think that's a great bet. But I also think if you are bullish on the Vikings, you want to sprinkle in some of that Kevin O'Connell Coach of the Year. I mean, again, working under McVay, you know, there's a lot of upside here. I mean, he has the pieces to really put his offensive mind to use.
You like that. I like how I gave a nice little Lizzo ditty and you both not only didn't respond, but then you completely ignored it and went on to talk about Kevin O'Connell, Coach of the Year odds, which I think is a really smart bet. Simon, I don't believe you have anything different to say about the Vikings than Raybon. If you do, please speak it. If not, we got to talk about the Lions.
Yeah, I would say you can just play that exact clip of Chris talking about the Vikings for the last 4 years, just switch out Stephon Diggs's name for Jefferson's name and switch out the head coach being there with Zimmer and this head coach. It's like what Chris said, they've said every year with Kirk on that team, great offense, semi-good defense. I just don't do it. Like ride with me and Chad, we fade the Vikings. It pays us well. Don't put money on the Vikings. It's Kirk Cousins. You're going to hate yourself by November.
So you'd rather put like minus 500 on the Packers than plus 300 on the Vikings?
No, I already said I wouldn't bet the Packers, but I think if I'm just looking at this division, that's the best value just because they're the best team.
So that's what I'm saying. You said you would rather, if that's the best value, you would rather do it. Like
we're about to talk about what I bet on, but like I'm just saying, like for the simpleton out here, the people, the fans of the show, it's just people get sucked into the Vikings because it's flashy toy, but it's like, it's Kirk Cousins. Like Kirk Cousins Monday night, what are we doing?
So Raybon, I think the point is that like Simon's not saying he'd rather bet on the Packers versus the Vikings. He's probably saying I'd rather bet on the Lions versus the Vikings.
Right.
Speak to that.
The Lions, Chad. We've been talking about them for 4 months now.
We're in Detroit. At this point, we're a Detroit Lions podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And we love them for entirely different.
Last year, it's the different. Last year, I just knew that these bad teams are going to be bad, right? Like, I rarely bet the under on these bottom teams. Like, I bet the under on Houston. I bet the under on the Jaguars. I bet the under on Detroit. That's not normal for me. Like, normally, I want to bet these teams overs because I always think they're going to turn a page. And this Detroit team, just everything they've done from the way they've drafted, the way they've built their coaching tree out, I love this team. Like, I'm all in on Swift and fantasy. Like, there's just a lot of things about this Lions team that I love, and it all comes back to the offensive line and this defensive line. Like, they're really building out smart style. And we're looking at a division that, to me, it's up for grabs. Like, I don't see that huge of a difference between the Lions and the Vikings. Like, you can say all you want about Kirk Cousins. Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl. Like, sure, we can say that's just basically the Rams thing, but it's like, I've seen Jared Goff make the same throws I've seen Kirk Cousins make. And the fact that this team, it feels like, believes in him, like, they gave him another year to be their starter. I love that. Like, I love the whole mojo of this Lions team. It's getting a little scary, Chad. We've seen how they've been bet up now, right? Like, we've all heard the numbers. I think they're one of the biggest bets right now at Caesars just because they have a sports book in Detroit, but it's like, when you see the numbers, the amount of people on this over, it's a little scary, but nothing's changed. We like them at 12-1. They win this division. I think they're at one point they were like 500, like 5-1 to make the playoffs. Now they're down to 4-1. So we love Detroit. They've been bet down, but I still think there's good value on a team that if they just can start out right, like last year we talked about, right, Chad? They didn't win until week 13. They can't let that happen, right? They got to win early on here. So if this team get out a couple wins early on, I just love the moxie of this team. I love the coaching style. I'm just a shock your world kind of team. So to me, I'll be on Detroit all season.
Lions finished 2021 3-13-1, but were 11-6 against the spread. First team in the wildcard era since 1990 to cover 60% of its games in a season with three wins or fewer. Raybon, do you have a feeling about the Lions?
Oh, I love the Lions. I just don't think they win a division. Like I like the Lions because I just think they're underrated. Like, I think they are closer to a 500-ish team, and their win total is at 6.5. Like, I think it's a lot. It would be a lot to ask for them to beat out the Packers and the Vikings. But I do share Simon's sentiment with Jared Goff. I think people are underrating him. Like, we just did the pod with JJ Zacharyson, and like, we essentially decided that we're just going to pass on every quarterback and just draft Jared Goff for free. But like, seriously, the offensive line is a top three offensive line. They have no weakness on the offensive line. Their skill positions are great, and they're going to get Jamison Williams at some point. They already have, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown broke out in a major way last year. DJ Chark's a solid, you know, number two, who will turn into the number three when Williams comes back. And DeAndre Swift is great. The reason why I don't love like the, okay, make the playoffs, win the division, is I think, you know, Hutchinson is nice, but I still think the back end is going to struggle for Detroit. I think, you know, if when they don't get home, I still think they're going to get torched. I think they'll be in a lot of shootouts, though, and I think they'll actually be able to win some because their offense is criminally underrated. So I'm with you, Simon. I am loving these guys in fantasy. I just don't really think the only hole, quote unquote, on the offense is really Jared Goff. But like you said, Simon, we've seen him with pieces around him do decently. You couldn't expect him to do well last year in that situation. It's totally different. I also like the coaching staff. So I like the Lions over 6.5 wins. If you want to sprinkle some to make the playoffs, sure. I just don't see them as an upside team because I still think their secondary is going to be shaky, and that's ultimately going to be their downfall.
I tell people all the time, the Jared Goff, go back and watch the Mexico City game with him against the Chiefs. Again, it's one of the greatest football games ever played. I think they scored 54. The Chiefs scored like 51.
Yep.
Goff has it in him. He just needs the pieces around him, which, again, we just talked about. He has it around him.
The only other team to talk about are the Chicago Bears. And in a preseason in which social media, which has been influential for years, has never been bigger because of the advent of things like TikTok, how Instagram has changed its feed. Highlights are available the second something happens around the league. You get insight, you get details, you get alerts. The only thing that has been a highlight for the Bears this preseason, they're doing orange helmets for one of their games.
No, you didn't see the only highlight. This little kid dressed up as Justin Fields, like legit had his visor, had the sweatbands, had the whole shemot, like everything. That's the only highlight I've seen of Justin Fields.
Even better. My point is, I don't think we need to spend any time on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
plus 950 to win the NFC North, 6.5 wins, plus 125 is the price on the over. I think we can all agree this is a team that's got a long way to go.
Yep. I bet. I mean, I like a betting adjusted Lions for teams I think they're going to suck. I bet they're under 5. Bet another under 4.5. Bet them to have worse record. It's nothing against Justin Fields or this team. It's more about, I think the last regime screwed them over so bad that they just need a full teardown rebuild. And could be shocked. You know, Justin Fields, we've seen moments of flash of him being really, really athletic and competitive. But we've also seen him being really dumb. So I'm just looking at a Bears team that the future is exciting, right? You guys see flashes of Justin Fields, Chad, you're back in. You're excited for the future. But this year is going to be ugly and going to be painful. So I'm going to do my best not to be really negative. I know how many Bears fans we have. But, man, it's going to be bad for these fans this year.
That's my favorite under.
It's your favorite under.
Bears under 6.5. I mean,
you know what?
Listen, Justin Fields, he has upside, right? But he had the worst QBR of any quarterback in the league last year. Now, let's say you say, okay, well, he can take a step forward. Well, to take a step forward, you need pieces around him. They have one of the worst offensive lines in the league. They have one of the worst receiving corps in the league. They're relying on a couple of rookies in the secondary. The veteran in their secondary has been declining for the last 4 years straight. They lost one of their best pass rushers. I mean, this team really doesn't have like a strength. Like, it's like Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith. And even Roquan Smith didn't have a good year last year. So it's like it's team. It's hard to even find a strength on this team. We're saying the Lions are a little bit underrated. I think the Vikings are underrated. The Packers are still going to be good, even if maybe they're not as dominant as they were in years past. Like, the division's going to be tough for them. All of their easiest games are on the road. Like, Atlanta's on the road. The Jets is on the road. The Giants are on the road. Like, one of the Detroit games on the road. Like, it's just going to be really tough for them this year. I just struggle to see how they get to 7 wins. And I like what you did there, Simon, with, you know, getting some better odds by betting them to go even lower, because yeah, I could absolutely see this team, you know, going like 3-14, 4-13, something like that.
I think what we're going to do as we wrap up the podcast right now, we said we were going to give betting takeaways from each division. And I feel like we've done that, but the best betting takeaway from the AFC North to me, it's probably the Steelers over 7.5 wins. Or the Steelers plus 300 to win the division. And since we couldn't find a consensus on the Lions and the Vikings or the Packers, I think the consensus is Bears under 6.5 wins in the NFC North.
Yeah, that's Lions, like, the go over their total are my two biggest bets right now for this division.
Yeah, I like the Lions over 6.5 wins as well. I just don't like the I don't think they have a great shot at hitting the
yeah, you don't see them going 11-5.
Right. But like, I like the offensive side of ball a lot.
Fuck it. We're going Bears under 6.5 wins. That's our best bet. The NFC North. Thank you to Chris Raybon, who is the host of the Fantasy Flex podcast, as well as so many other things at the Action Network. To my BFF, my companion, my compadre, Simon Hunter. For producer Matt Mitchell, I am Chad Millman. Download the podcast from Apple Podcasts, from Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, leave us 5 stars. Feedback is a gift. Say whatever you want. Until next time, love you.